Welcome to Civil Defense Radio with your host, Preston Schlankofer. This week we have Chris Wachowski with CERT Responder Magazine. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty good.
Great. Can you give us and our friends listening an idea of what your background is and a little bit about CERT Responder Magazine, which is such a neat magazine?
Yeah, this is a really neat magazine. My background is I'm a U.S. Air Force veteran. I was on a couple search and rescue teams while I was in the service and for the state of New Mexico. Decided to join in the emergency medical services as a first responder. Been doing that since in the late 90s. Hold the instructorship and in a lot of aspects in that region. And a couple of my business partners and I, Bob Abrams and Fran Sherman, who are also owners in this, we decided to start this CERT Responder magazine because we saw that there was a goal to spread informational stories, things that are out there that other groups around the country, there was a little bit of a disconnect, and we wanted to kind of expand on that.
Okay, so when did it actually start?
We started about 3.5 years ago.
Okay.
And it just started out as a very small magazine. I think it was, if I remember right, it's only like, I don't know, 16 pages or something like that.
Well, that's pretty thin.
Real small.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it started out as a hard copy?
Yeah, it started out as a hard copy. We wanted to do something different than just a newsletter. I know FEMA was putting out some newsletters back in 2011, and that kind of had dwindled away. And so we wanted to put out something a little bit better, better quality, and a lot of more interest to the readership.
So how do you get the word out about your magazine?
We do it through our Facebook. We're on social media. We have a Twitter now as well. We have our website, which is www.CERTResponder.com. And they can order it online. We have both a hard copy subscription, and then about 18 months ago, we started a digital as well so that you can log in through your back office and get your digital subscription as well.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So I'm on the website right now. How often do you guys publish your magazine?
It's a quarterly magazine, so we put it out about every 4 months.
Okay. What are some of the things, if I was talking to you at a trade show and you wanted to convince me that this is the magazine for me, what would you say?
Well, I'd say this is the magazine for you. One, it's because it's the only magazine that's out there for CERT team members. We talk about everything from search and rescue to even the Mohawk Project where overdoses or things that are in natural disasters. I know we've gone to the national conference down in Naples, Florida. We've talked about drones and what you would do in events with wild animals and rescue, fire rehab, a number of things that you might come across. You can never really prepare enough for those natural disasters. So this is really for those serving those communities who serve in their communities that want to help others. And a lot of them have been most of the time either a first responder or in some aspect want to help others.
Well, that's pretty broad. I was speaking with Andrea Forte with Central Texas DART a few weeks ago about her organization out there in Central Texas around the Fort Hood area. And I mentioned to her that her organization, the way I saw it and the way it was structured, was a civil defense organization by another name. And CERT is an element that I believe would be part of a civil defense organization, and it would be part of the building blocks of a good civil defense organization that helped the community in a variety of ways.
Yeah, I totally agree. I know there's a lot of CERT communities that even set up pods for water distribution. I think there was one that was just in California, and they were out of water. And, you know, the very basic needs of people, you know, water, fire, and shelter. And they were handing out, I think, 500,000 bottles of water.
Wow, that's a lot. Can you give us an idea of some of the more memorable stories that you guys have published in your magazine? But let me back up real quick before we do that. How does somebody put an article into CERT Responder Magazine or get it published in your magazine? Let's cover that first before we we talk about some of the more memorable stories that you guys have done?
Yeah, we look at a number of things that we try to get about topics in certain hot areas. We try to leave everything that's relevant in those areas. Like, say, if we have a new wildfire or something like that, we'll reach out to those organizations or fire departments. And they'll, if they have an organized CERT team, then they can just email their story to bob@certresponder.com. And basically, we will go through those stories. And if we can use them in the magazine, if they're relevant, then we'll actually, you know, go through all of us and look at them over. And then we'll decide which ones we need to put in there, you know, how long of a story it is or whatever that topic may be.
Okay, so you guys have a lot of dynamic pictures on the covers of some of these magazine editions. So are those provided by the person submitting an article on that subject, or is it you guys taking pictures, or how is that done?
It's a little bit of everything. Sometimes it has to be a high quality photo if we're going to use it from them. We do go out and take pictures ourselves as well. A lot of our like team cert and things like that, they're using high quality cameras, so that when we get those pictures, we don't have to do a lot of editing. We can take those and just use those per se on the magazine or the website. And then if it's you know, say myself going out and doing the interview or something like that, I'm going to take some high quality resolution photos and then put those with there. Or we might have our lady that goes out and interviews you, and she might get that as well. You know, a lot of these are real photos that you see that we put on our magazine. We try to put the most relevant to the current events. We don't like to, you know, get too far dated, but, you know, sometimes those stories will maybe be a year old or something like that, that we'll go in there and we actually get our information ourselves or talk to those individuals.
Okay. All right. So let's switch now to your more memorable stories. I'm sure you have at least two or three of them that that stand out. I'm sure our friends listening would enjoy hearing some of that.
Yeah, we talk about a lot of one of the couple hot topics right now. It seems to be fire rehab and what FEMA puts out and how to prepare a CERT team where they can actually be part. Most people think that just the fire side, working the fire. But the firefighters, you know, there's 80,000 firefighters injured a year, and they need to be rehabbed to improve performance, to decrease the likelihood of an on-scene injury or death. And, you know, just those CERT members there, sometimes I know in like San Francisco or Los Angeles, those CERT teams are activated that, you know, they go out there with that fire and they set up their tent. And they can, you know, hand out, you know, water, or they can check their blood pressures and do some other things that they might need in those scenes. And it's different all over parts of the country. So it's not a cookie cutter operation. It's basically, you know, what are the needs of those departments when they have it? Because they might get dispatched with a life-saving vehicle or an ALS vehicle, an ambulance, and then others might not. So they might have to take a rehab bus. It depends how big the operation is, too. So if you have a wildfire or something like that, then they might not be put in those scenes because they don't have a wildfire training. So it just all kind of depends. And there's some NFPA guidelines. I think they're the NFPA 1584. These are the standard for rehab process of members during the emergency operations and training. And those, I think, started in 08, if I'm not mistaken. But it talks about a number of things that they go through, and even the likelihood or the introduction of strenuous work, and talking about, you know, what is going on in the fire, what they might deal with as far as psychological, how the rehab process works. So those are kind of interesting, and we put a lot of stories. I think the most recent one we did, Handem CERT Success, when their summer issue of 2019, and they've been, it looks like over the last 15 years, assisted them during fires and in hazardous material incidents and things like that, where the CERT team actually gets dispatched out with them, and they help with those operations.
Well, that sounds like a great program for CERT to be involved in, and it helps add value to their organization in those situations where fire firefighters are extended in their duties fighting large fires.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the other things that we found that was is kind of gaining popularity is the use of drones and, you know, getting that the certification for drones where it's, you know, a critical incident. I know that there's fire departments that are using drones now. There's CERT teams that are using it for search and rescue. And so drones are, you know, they can be, I guess, more dangerous because you have all these little drones flying around the sky. But if you have that certification from the FAA, that I think it's a part 442, don't quote me on that, but I believe it is. And I believe that, you know, they get those certifications so that they can do these operations with the drone, that it will help those events or disasters or maybe even search and rescue when, you know, they have a large area to search around that they have to find these victims.
No, that's good. That's important for technology to be used the way we need to in order to enhance, you know, life and the search and rescue. And even I've seen some things where fire departments are using them to survey the fire before or even during, I guess, during the process of fighting the fire. The technology that we have and the capability with these drones is increasing quite a bit.
Yeah. All right. And I apologize. It's 14 CFR Part 101 and Part 107. Those are the certification. One is involving the model and recreational flight, and the other one is civil operations, the 107.
Okay. So they're separate and distinct, huh?
Yes, yes. So if you're using them in a workplace or just using them for recreational needs.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk more about some of the great and memorable articles that have appeared in CERT Responder magazine. Hello, friends. Please allow me to speak with you about something you may want to add to your regular health maintenance routine as well as your preparedness supplies. A few years ago, I came across an article in Preparedness magazine that caught my attention. My wife and I have always been health conscious, and we have taken various supplements over the years. However, this article introduced us to the world of essential oils. My wife began researching to find a reputable company with high-quality products. What she found was a company that we have been with now for about 4 years, using their products, many of them daily. The company is doTERRA, and their products are certified pure, therapeutic-grade essential oils. Essential oils come in all grades on the scale, but doTERRA oils are, in our opinion, at the top. Sure, you can go to Walmart or your local pharmacy and purchase essential oils, but not many of them are recommended for internal use. Many of our oils can be used orally, topically, and diffused for their wonderful aromatic fragrance and health benefits. Some of our favorites we use almost daily are lemon, clove, frankincense, lavender, En Garde blend, peppermint, and melaleuca, also known as tea tree oil. These oils have become our go-to remedy for managing our health throughout the year. In fact, we credit our oils for our overall good health. You can too. Just visit our website at www.oilsforlifetoday, that's oils, number four, lifetoday.com, and explore the wonderful world of certified, pure, therapeutic-grade essential oils for yourself. And we're back with Chris Wachowski with CERT Responder magazine. So, Chris, before we took our little break there, you were going to tell us more about the more memorable articles that have appeared in CERT Responder magazine.
Yeah, so we've done some things such as drones and different events. Our information that we try to spread with the magazine is a lot, not necessarily from our stories, from our aspect, but from the CERT members themselves. This is a community, we believe, that we try to spread a strong community. And some of those are told in their words in our magazine. They're, you know, anything from the dangers of electricity or maybe dealing with operations. I think one of the things is, you know, the Joplin, when the tornado came through and destroyed that town.
That was horrible.
Yeah. They were a big part of that town. And when they went around, you know, going through debris and things like that, you know, what did they have to be aware of? That was one of our real powerful stories. That one is local for us or whatnot, because, you know, we're from Missouri and things like that. But it's things like that to, you know, spread the information on the, you know, about their community, what's going on, leaving it, you know, strong and helping those who serve in their own communities.
Yes.
We kind of use that as a tagline because they are helping their own in their own community.
Yeah, that's right. It's community focused. My mantra that I use for civil defense is it's family, neighborhood, community in that order. So, you know, that's a building block, and CERT is part of that building block.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of that, too, is you see a lot in this community that have been in the first responder community, whether they've been a police officer, because a lot of our police organizations sponsor CERT teams.
That's awesome.
And then the fire departments sponsor CERT teams. So I think that a lot of them, even if they're retired, you could be at any age from, you know, 18 to the age is endless. If you can sit at a, you know, a booth, hand out some water or some pamphlets or, you know, even go around doing that, some of that search and rescue, then I think they're a valuable asset to the community.
Well, they have junior certs now too, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We have teen certs that are out there, and we do a small little episode with teen certs in our magazine as well. Some of those pictures, I think in the one summer issue, you can actually see me or maybe the issue that's coming up here in the fall, you actually see me taking some of the pictures with the teen certs actually doing a training event, and they're just teaching them how to do like splinting and bleeding control. Whereas that's a big thing right now is stopping the bleed.
Yeah, that's everybody should know how to do that. Basic first aid is a must. And our local fire department is advertising a basic first aid class just about every quarter now.
Very good. Yeah, that I think it's really important. We know that all the way from, you know, being overseas to the United States and trauma, but first aid and bleeding control and even CPR. We teach that to our kids. We start there, and then they grow up to be adults and hopefully become into the first responder community, and then continue on that when they retire.
No, that's good. That's good. It's important to be involved in your community. You know, many veterans are getting involved in various activities as well. The Central Texas DART, they have a lot of veterans that are part of theirs because they're right there next to Fort Hood. So there's a lot of dependents from military and former and retired military also. So they have a huge pool of veterans there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think also with some of our social media, on the Facebook, we try to put out things like the evidence of heat stress and strokes, heat exhaustion, things like that. Whereas you might be on, I don't know, running a marathon, and then you'll have your CERT members on the sidelines, and they'll be handing out water, but they can look for those signs. We talk about a number of other things where people can submit photos, or they're handing out bottled water. I think that was in Trona, California in July. They were handing out a bunch of water out there for just, their community was down. We talk about a number of things, and we like our advertisers that are coming on board to create that nice group or that kind of partnership of the community and, you know, keeping them going. Even from certifications, I know we work with a number of organizations, and then talking to just different groups. It's really, I think it's interesting to get their stories and to, you know, they're happy to, you know, talk about themselves. So it's pretty easy to do.
Yes. You sent me an article, Hamden CERT Success. It talks about thanks to strong ties with local fire and police departments. Can't tell which magazine edition this is from, but
should be the summer of 2018.
Okay,
or 2019. I'm sorry.
Okay,
summer of 2019.
Yeah, this was a really good story, and their tagline here says a lot. First, take care of yourself and family, then your neighbors, then your community. family, neighborhood, community. It supports what I've been saying. And on my website at civildefenseradio.com, under the About Us tab, there's a graphic that I found from the 1950s. It was a civil defense structure, and it talks about individual, and it lists, you know, being trained and capable, then family, being prepared as a family, then neighborhood and community. And it just makes sense. And I think a lot of things can be handled at the local level if more people were involved in programs like CERT and were helping out the community in times of need. It goes more than to just helping when there's a need, but it's also building that resiliency prior to. If the family's resilient, the neighborhood's better prepared. If the neighborhood's resilient, you know, and they're prepared, then the community is better off. And it's a building block that we need. And having not only preparedness, but being trained in various things, like some of the courses that CERT has, and the missions that they get involved in, it's important to have that capability.
Yeah, I totally agree. Hampton, you know, they were really successful in the clean energy explosion disaster. That was one of the largest natural disaster gas explosions in history. It was in Middleton, Connecticut. They've assisted with tornadoes and other things. Last year, I know they had a couple. They handed out a point of distribution. They had a three-day operation for that. There was over 325 cases of water that were handed out. They have about 102 members on their roster, so they're pretty active with their team. They got about 60%, the 75% of them that are actually doing things every single time that something comes out. So they're able to stay active in their community and reinforce that as well. So they're doing good stuff there.
You know, you and I are believers in CERT. My county where I live is opposed to CERT for whatever reason I won't get into. What would you say to a public service official who is looking at CERT, but maybe not leaning that way? What would you say to try and convince them that is the way to go?
Well, I would say that most of their CERT members, believe it or not, are probably some sort of retired first responder. So they probably have some aspect or understand what is going on in those operations, maybe not in its complete entirety. But I think through education, I think as a resource, when certain situations become long and inundated, when you don't have enough personnel maybe to control that scene, or maybe they can do crowd control. It could be very simple things, just a rehab. I mean, that doesn't take anybody with special training per se, that you know, you have to be qualified to hand out a bottle of water and help your fellow man. You know, I think that, you know, working as a team, I think that using the assets that you have in your community is important. And I think working together, because most of them, again, are first responders, you know, or they just want to help people.
Yeah, and I think it's wise to involve the community. You know, an involved community knows what's going on and what the needs of our first responders are. And if you keep them at arm's length, they don't really understand what's needed. You know, they'll hear the requests for more money or more equipment, but they really don't understand what the need is. But if they're part of it through a CERT program or something similar, then they have a better idea of what's needed and what the shortages are. And I think that the first responder community would benefit greatly by having that extra leg of the stool, which is the local population.
Well, not only that, in your CERT groups that are out there are mostly a 501(c), so they're a nonprofit. They're out there, they can raise money and maybe get a piece of equipment that you didn't have or maybe need for your department, and they can help with that. So I think using that as a tool or a resource, not only to help the CERT community, but help the first responder community and make that bridge or make that tie, I think it's an important asset. And if you just keep it at arm's length, again, I tell you that there's no cookie cutter per se, it's got to be this way. And certain things do, but you know, it's not a cookie cutter operation. So one area might deal with tornadoes. The other one might deal with earthquakes. I mean, we're talking West Coast to East Coast.
Yeah.
There's differences, you know, all over the place. It's not going to be the same everywhere.
Yeah. And it's a worthwhile program. When I was looking at civil defense and developing my idea about it, I looked at CERT real hard and thought, wow, this is good. I also found a program that was developed on the West Coast out in Washington State. It's called Map Your Neighborhood. And I see that as a little brother to CERT. In the Army, they have a philosophy of training. They teach you how to crawl, walk, run. And so the Map Your Neighborhood program is a crawl stage. And the CERT program is kind of a airborne shuffle where it's a little bit more than a walk, but less than a run. And so I think that, you know, having building blocks is the key to building community resiliency and getting people involved, because there'll be people that'll get involved in their local neighborhood, but they won't want to reach outside of their neighborhood in order to help. So at least you have a program that with Map Your Neighborhood, it helps them at least get engaged and start the building process to be more resilient. And then those who are more inclined to go to the next level, then there's CERT that they can get involved in and go outside of their neighborhood and help the community.
Yeah, that's a great analogy to the program and how it is. And sometimes you have to adapt and overcome the situations that might be, you know, dealt to you, and you just have to be able to adapt to that. And if you have those resources, I think that makes it that much more valuable to use as a resource.
Yes, exactly. And paid resources are short in the emergency response community. They're limited, and they never have enough. I talked to a fireman here locally, and he told us about they had a fire over by one of the lakes nearby, and every piece of equipment was over there. The rest of the county was unprotected. So they can be inundated very quickly. This was a winter fire, so there was ice involved and a lot of extenuating circumstances involved in this. And, you know, this is a big county, and to have all their equipment dedicated to this one area, you know, that left everybody else exposed. And so I don't know how a volunteer organization may have assisted in that, but at least there would have been some type of coverage in other areas of the county, especially if there were CERT teams that were built around each fire station. That way you had regional CERT teams that had a specific area of operation, but they could also be used other places. And that's one of the things that I see that, you know, like a city or a county, they'll have a CERT team, but they won't be necessarily built around those important resources, which are fire stations.
Yeah, well, that's one good point. Is I know, like down in Florida, they have a bunch of cash reserves, and they're in pods or basically containers that are stationed all around the city. I mean, imagine when a hurricane comes in, if it wipes all your pods out. So they don't station them all in one specific location. They station them around the area where you have around the area the resources and the CERT teams that can access these pods or caches of equipment and be able to deploy that pretty quickly. And it's not all tied up one resource in one area where you have them in multiple areas.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great idea. Well, Chris, we're running into the end of our time here. Do you have any last minute comments for our friends out there? And if you would, cover your website and social media.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested in submitting a story, you can submit that to Bob, B-O-B-Bob, at CertResponder.com, or Chris at CertResponder.com, and that's myself or Bob. And we will get those to the editor, and then get that information out there. If you want to subscribe to our hard copy or digital, you can go to www.certresponder.com. If you want to go social media, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter. You know, follow us, like us, share us, because this is how we get information out there to everybody and spread the story. So we are an informational magazine, but we also want to, you know, help those serve those who serve their own communities. And I appreciate all your time that you've given me, and I look forward to making this a great, great magazine for you guys and the people.
Great, great. Thanks. The top-down governmental approach to solve our community resiliency problem has failed us. We need a community-based grassroots approach to solve this problem of resiliency. We are looking for volunteers throughout the nation to pick up the mantle of civil defense for their communities. Let's start a conversation with a guide found on our resources page at our website at civildefenseradio.com. Be sure to check out our regular postings on Facebook at Civil Defense Radio and on Twitter at civil_def_radio, where we post information about the many threats we see to our safety and security as a nation. I wish to thank Chris again for being on the show, and I'd like to thank you, our friends and listeners, and I really appreciate you listening to the show this week. So please, be safe, be informed, be prepared, and may God bless you until next time.